I'm a grateful believer. I'm an alcoholic. I haven't had a drink for 30 years. And my name is Ron. Let's say a little prayer before we get going here. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for being here tonight and watching over us, watching over me. Help me to just get out of my own way and say what you want to say. Be a channel of your communication, and we'll be good. We just love you and praise you tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I knew this guy had a really bad drinking problem. And his wife finally said, I've had enough. I can't take anymore. You either do something about your drinking or I'm leaving. So I said, "He said, okay, all right. What do you want me to do?" She said, "Well, I heard about this thing called CR, Celebrate Recovery. And it looks like they got a pretty good track record of helping people with their problems and whatnot, drugs, alcohol, different things. So I'd like you to go to Celebrate Recovery." So he says, "Okay, I'll go to Celebrate Recovery." About a week goes by and she says, "What's going on with the Celebrate Recovery? I haven't seen you go." Or he says, "Oh, I forgot to tell you." He said, "I called them, but they're full right now, and they put me on the waiting list." So tonight's lesson is on denial. Lesson one. This is lesson one of 25. Yeah, get into that in a minute. On denial. So we'll start at principle one and step one. So let's read together. Principle one: realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Matthew 5:3. Okay, sorry. And then step one: powerless to our addictions and compulsive behaviors and that our lives have become unmanageable. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Romans 7:18. So, as I said, this is lesson one of 25 lessons, and these are the same lessons that we go through in step study. We work with a group of other people in recovery. We're in the middle of a couple of step studies right now. There's this meeting, the big meeting, and then the small groups that we meet after we have this meeting. And then on another night, there'll be a step study that I would advise that you get involved in when we start another one. These will be through in a couple months, and we'll start some new ones. So I highly recommend. There's four study books that you go through and answer questions and work with a group and get to know each other real well. And it's really the backbone and base of the Celebrate Recovery program. And so what we do here at the big meeting, we start with one, two, three, of course, and then next week will be a testimony. We'll have either a testimony on a tape or somebody live from the group will come up and give their story, recovery story, what it was like, what happened, and what they're like now. And then week after that will be lesson number two, which will be the follow-up to denial. We start with denial, and you'll see why here, and then hopefully you surrender to that process, and number two takes you from there to start working on your issues, and we work right on through, and hopefully with good results when we're finished. Introduction. Tonight we begin a journey together, a journey on the road to recovery. This journey begins with principle one, where we admit that we are powerless to control our tendency to do the wrong thing and that our lives have become unmanageable, out of control. So, fear. Fear of recovery. You may have been in your hurt habit or hang-up for so long that it has become your identity. You may be thinking, what will happen if I really give recovery a chance? Will I change? If I give up my old hurts, hang-ups, and habits, what will I become? Who will I be? And I struggled with that when I got here. My whole life was drinking. My friends, my places, my restaurants. I couldn't go to a restaurant unless it had a little cocktail sign or beer sign or something. I had to have some alcohol. And if it didn't have that, then, hey, we're not going there. My friends all drank. And that was just been my thing since early on when I drank. I fell in love with alcohol. It took care of me for quite a while, and it turned on me. Who will I be? You may be abusing alcohol, prescription drugs, or food. You're afraid of what you will do without your substance of choice. It was my escape, my diversion, if you will, my go-to for relief. It was my pressure relief valve that I learned early on, worked very well, did a very good job. And what am I going to do without that? Although it had not been doing as great a job as it did at one time, but it was still, I didn't have anything else to replace it with. So what am I going to do without my substance of choice? You may have been enabling someone in a dysfunctional relationship for years. Perhaps you wonder, what if I change and my alcoholic husband gets mad at me? God doesn't want you to stay frozen in an unhealthy relationship or a bad habit. He wants you to do your part in becoming healthy. Even if our past was extremely painful, however, we may still resist change and the freedom that can be found in really working this program. Because of our fear of the unknown or because of our despair, we just close our minds because we think that we don't deserve any better. I would get to points of desperation and feel that way. I mean, I was on one of two modes. Either I'm such a loser, I'm not going to win anything anyway, so, you know, give me another drink. Why even fight this? To my John Wayne, where I'm going to beat this, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it on my own. So it's either, you know, pride and ego or just I'm a worm. As you work the principles and steps, remember 1 John 4:18, where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out fear. You are not here by mistake tonight. This room is full of changed lives. It is my prayer for each of you that you will not let your past failures or your fear of your future stop you from giving Celebrate Recovery a real try. Are you wearing a mask of denial tonight? You're not even wearing your COVID mask, for God's sake. Before you can make any progress in your recovery, you need to face your denial. As soon as you remove your mask, your recovery begins, or begins again. It doesn't matter if you're new in recovery or have been in recovery, working the steps for years. Denial can rear its ugly head and return at any time. You may trade addictions or get into a new relationship that's unhealthy for you in a different way than the previous one. So this lesson is for each and every one of us, new and old timer alike. What is denial? And I like this definition as they spell it out here. It says, denial has been defined as a false system of beliefs that are not based on reality and a self-protecting behavior that keeps us from honestly facing the truth. I don't know, our problems, it's just crazy because we hang on to them. We want to get rid of them at one point, but yet we can't. And then when it looks like we're going to get rid of them, we hang on to them because that's our security, I guess, and what we're used to. And so this thing can get a little crazy, but I'm going to read that again because I really like that definition. Denial has been defined as a false system of beliefs that are not based on reality and a self-protecting, so we think, behavior that keeps us from honestly facing the truth. Our coping skills grow into denial, and most of our relationships ended up broken or less fulfilling than they could have been. Did you ever deny that your parents had problems? Did you ever deny that you had problems? The truth is, we can all answer yes to these questions to some extent. But for some of us, that denial turned to shame and guilt. Denial is the pink elephant sitting in the middle of the living room. No one in the family talks about it or acknowledges it in any way. Do any of the following comments sound familiar to you? Can't we stop talking about it? Talking only makes it worse. Billy, if we don't talk about it, it will go away. Honey, let's pretend that that never really ever happened. If I tell her that it hurts me when she says that, I'm afraid she will leave me. He really doesn't drink that much. It really doesn't hurt when he does that. I'm fine. I'm good. Thanks. Paul drinks more than I do. Joan has been married 3 times. I've only been married twice. I eat because you make me so mad. If you didn't nag me all the time, I wouldn't fill in the blank. Look, honey, I have a tough job. This is mine here. Look, honey, I have a tough job. I work hard. I need a few drinks to relax. It doesn't mean that I have a problem, for gosh sakes. That's all statements of denial. That's all denial. I'd like now to read kind of a list of my own list. You can get in the head of an alcoholic thinking about quitting drinking. And I put my denial is mixed, as I think all of us are, with rationalizations, justifications, excuses, or just give in to it. I mean, we have all these things that we use as a part of denial. All my friends drink. Will I lose all my friends? How do I tell them I quit? Will I still be able to hang around the tavern and play pool with my friends? Will I have any personality left at all without my booze? Do I have to give up playing poker and the horse races in Vegas? What will I do for entertainment? How can I go to parties anymore and not be a wet blanket? How about business, Christmas parties, and wedding receptions? All now will be off limits. How will I dance? I can't dance without drinking, having a couple drinks. How will I loosen up and relax? Everyone drinks. Why can't I? I'm angry. I will beat this on my own. I don't need anybody. I don't need any outside help getting into my business. Or, I'm a loser anyway. Why should I even try? I work hard and support the family. I'm not letting everyone else tell me what to do. I'm not as bad as my wife says I am. Besides, she's the actual problem here, not me. That's my favorite. I like Laura companions also. I notice they start hanging with Laura companions. It makes you feel a lot better. My friend I hang with drinks and gambles far more and worse than me. Now his life really is a wreck. I'm not that bad. I need my alcohol for a diversion to just shut down my mind and the rat race for a while. And there is nothing else I've ever found that really works. Although there is. I don't have a problem with my drinking, It's everyone else around me that seems to have a problem with my drinking. Or, I'm not hurting anyone else but myself. The big one here, alcohol isn't really my problem, it's my solution. That's just a few of my little denial things there. As I said earlier, before we can take the first step of our recovery, we must first face and admit our denial. God says in Jeremiah 6:14, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Or, I put it this way, you can't fix the problem until you identify what it is, admit that you actually have it, and make the final decision that you want to do something about it. So, I actually admitted I was an alcoholic for a while before I gave into it. And it actually, for me, for a while, just allowed me, I felt okay sitting in the tavern at 8 o'clock in the morning asking for a beer. So I thought, well, I'm alcoholic, that's what alcoholics do. So, but that lasted a little while. Usually our pain gets us here. And we can toy with it a while, and our pain brings us back, and our pain finally says, hey, it's time to look at this seriously and make some changes. Effects of denial. Okay, let's look at tonight's acrostic, denial. So the D is, let me put all these here, disables our feelings, is D. I'll read these first, and then I'll go over the descriptions. E is energy lost. N is negates growth. I is isolates us from God. A is alienates us from our relationships. And L lengthens the pain. So D, the D in denial stands for disables our feelings. Hiding our feelings, living in denial, freezes our emotions and binds us. Understanding and feeling our feelings is where we find freedom. 2 Peter 2:19 tells us, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of destructive habits. For a man is a slave of anything that has conquered him. I'll say that again. For a man or a woman is a slave of anything that has conquered him or her. For me, the basic test of freedom is not what I'm free to do, it's what I'm free not to do. I'm free not to take that drink. And I love that, the way he puts that. We find freedom to feel our true feelings when we find Christ and step out of denial. I love that. We're free not to do things. And sometimes, even in our recovery, we forget what's not there anymore. We want the blessing and the finances and a lot of other stuff that comes with recovery, the relationships. But there's stuff not happening anymore, like DUIs. You know, I didn't have a DUI. I didn't spend the night in jail last night. I'm not running around cheesing my credit card and whatnot for a couple bucks here and there, cheating the company and whatnot, just, you know, for a few beers or go out and play cards. And I don't freeze every time a cop is behind me, or I even see one sitting alongside the road, you know, because half the time I'm going around with a beer between my legs or whatever. So there's a whole lot of things a lot of baggage there I don't have anymore that I can forget, and it's all a freeing deal. E stands for energy lost. A major side effect of denial is anxiety. Anxiety causes us to waste precious energy dealing with past hurts and failures and the fear of the future. As you go through this program, you will learn that it is only in the present that positive change can occur, only in the now. Worrying about the past and dreading the future makes us unable to live and enjoy God's plans for us in the present. We let our fears and worries paralyze us. But the only lasting way we can be free from them is by giving them to God. Psalms 146:7 says, "He frees the prisoners. He lifts the burdens from those bent down beneath their loads." If you will transfer the energy required to maintain your denial into learning God's truth, a healthy love for others and yourself will occur as you depend more and more on your higher power, Jesus Christ. You will see the light of truth and reality. Again, we don't realize how much energy we're using up to stay in our denial, to live our double lives, to make sure we don't get caught, or just energy loss. That's so true. And when that energy gets turned around for the positive, it's a huge difference. You know, it's a 200% deal. From spiraling down to spiraling up. N, denial negates growth. We are as sick as our secrets. And again, we cannot grow in recovery until we are ready to step out of our denial into the truth. God is waiting to take your hand and bring you out. The Bible says they cried to the Lord in their troubles, and he rescued them. He led them from the darkness and shadow of death and snapped their chains. Psalms 107:13-14. As you travel the road of your recovery, you will come to understand that God never wastes a hurt. God will never waste your darkness, but he can't use it unless you step out of your denial into the light of his truth. And I think for me, what that means, you are very, once you've gone through the process and had healing and recovery, you're a very unique person, because now you will see that in others that are having that problem. You will empathize with them and you will know how to help them. And you can talk to them on a line. A doctor can't talk to them. A book can't read to them. Because you're eyeball to eyeball. You're that person. You're the real deal. And they know it and you know it. So you're on a special level. That's why in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say one of their biggest deals is one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic. Because you know each other. You can't con me. You can't tell me what's up or down. Or, you know, I know the deal. I know the drill. And I can take that darkness that was darkness and turn it completely around and help others. It's a huge gift if you use it. The I, denial also isolates us from God. Adam and Eve are a great example of how secrets and denial separate us from true fellowship with God. After they sinned, their secret separated them from God. Genesis 3:7 tells us that Adam and Eve hid from God because they felt naked and ashamed. Of course, good old Adam tried to rationalize. He said to God, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree." Yeah, I like that. Genesis 3:12. First he tried to blame God, saying, "The woman you put here with me." Then he tried to blame it on Eve. "She gave me the fruit." Remember, God's light shines on the truth. Our denial keeps us in the dark. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 1:5-7. So isolates us from God. I know in my own life, I was thinking about this, kind of studying for this lesson, and it kind of hit me today. Till I came to CR, I mean, this created my walk with God, really. the principles and what talking. Every time you come here, you read about picking a time every day to read the Word and pray, and so we're just constantly reminded of things that we need to do to have a walk with God. And I was a Christian, but I kind of a far way away, but this really in helping my recovery and whatnot, it also created a walk with God. And my Christianity, I guess if you will, went quite a few notches up, you know, just by doing this stuff. But when I have a relationship with God, and I will tell you, I'm not perfect. I've had a lot of years of sobriety, but there's a whole lot of other stuff out there you can get in trouble with if you're not careful. And so if I get off, I just feel that wall come down. I mean, I can feel it. We're just not simpatico anymore for whatever reason. And if that's happening and I don't know what's going on, then I start trying to figure out. But usually I do. Usually I do know what's going on, and I'm back to into something I shouldn't be into or whatever. And until I repent and get right with God, that just comes down. So that's kind of in place sometimes when we get here, and you kind of don't even know it. But that's, you'll feel that when that happens. Our denial not only isolates us from God, isolates us from God, and alienates us from our relationships. Denial tells us we are getting away with it. We think no one knows, but they do. But while denial may shield us from the hurt, it also keeps us from helping ourselves or the people we love the most. It just keeps us in the wrong area. We don't dare reveal our true selves to others for fear of what they will think or say if they knew the real us. We must protect ourselves, our secrets, at any cost. So we isolate ourselves and thereby minimize the risk of exposure and possible rejection from others. But at what price? The eventual loss of all our important relationships. What's the answer? Listen to Ephesians 4:25. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth, for we are parts of each other. And when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. So naturally, you know, we have a horizontal block from God, which also, vertical. and then that starts everything else then horizontal. You know, our relationships, finance, you know, you name it in your life. It just goes to pieces but that's what brings a lot of us in here. Our lives become unmanageable. And so it blocks here, and then it spreads like wildfire sideways. Remember, it is always better, remember it's always better to tell the ugly truth rather than a beautiful lie. I like that. The L, finally, denial lengthens the pain. We have the false belief that denial protects us from our pain. In reality, denial allows our pain to fester and grow and turn into shame and guilt. Denial extends your hurt. It multiplies your problems. Truth, like surgery, may hurt for a while, but it cures. God promises us in Jeremiah 30:17, I will give you back your health again and heal your wounds. So that's the end of that one. I put a note here too. It's not actually the denial that's causing all these things, but it's whatever we're doing that we're denying that causes all this problem. The denial is just hopefully what we will recognize that we're doing, so we can get at it and take care of business. So it's the sin that we're covering up and thinking that we're hiding and living the double life and on. It gets totally insane. Okay, wrap up. Tonight I encourage you to step out of your denial. Walking out of your denial is not easy. Taking off that mask is hard. Everything about you shouts, don't do it. It's not safe. But it is safe. It's safe at Celebrate Recovery. Here you have people who care about you and who love you for who you are. People who will stand beside you as truth becomes a way of life. John tells us, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. Step out of your denial so you can step into Jesus' unconditional love and grace and begin your healing journey of recovery. I wish you all the best. I wish you all CR and get through your denial and start that victory road in recovery. Love you all. Thank you for listening.